So we're in a series right now called Seasons of Love, and it's absolutely wonderful, and I love the way that Holly started by saying we all have those love songs that we love. I love Valentine's. I love love songs. I love like those really like strong love ballads. When you get to a ballad, it just changes the whole game. Those power ballads that people get out. And as Holly was talking about her favorite song, Jesus Loves Me, which I thought was great. That's your worship leader should always have her favorite song be Jesus Loves Me. Do we agree? Okay, I just want to make sure. All right. As we got to that, I was trying to think back onto what my favorite song was. And I was going back to like my earliest favorite love song. Like when I was probably like starting to experience love and maybe kind of flirting with love and kind of seeing what that was and what that song was. Do you guys remember that song? Do you guys all have that song here? For me, Casey and JoJo, All My Life. Come on now.
All my life. I pray for someone like you, and I thank God that I finally found you.
Right, like, oh, right, like it's just over and over again when I didn't have love in my life, like over and over again. It's great. That's what love can do. And that's what this season is all about. We realize that that Casey and JoJo song is no longer my favorite love song. There are seasons of favorite love songs too. Like it didn't happen anymore. But we're walking you through what are these different seasons in our relationships. And Mike Dennis preached last week. He was back there a second ago. I don't know where he's at right now. But Mike Dennis preached last week and did an incredible job. I heard that he might have taught. Yeah, if you were here last week, it was great. I already talked about The Bachelor was one thing I heard from the message. That's great. Okay, there's... Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of love that can come through that, and so it was good. And then this pursuer withdrawal language last week. When seasons are cold in your relationship, and when you pursue someone and you withdraw from someone, and then how to relate that to God, incredible. That's available right now on the website if you want to go out. It's podcast too. You can listen on your drive to work. So definitely go out and check that out on our website. You can hear everything, and we got the video up, so you can watch Mike preach it. It was incredible. This week, we're talking about when love blooms. We're going to be talking through the stories. And it was great because I got to experience it yesterday, which is absolutely wonderful. Some of the joys of being a pastor is that I get to participate and officiate weddings. And officiate weddings for people that I love dearly. And yesterday I got to officiate a wedding for one of my best friends. And his name is John Fields. And this is what the wedding looked like yesterday at their dance. It's up there. Look at that right there. Do you see that right there? So there they are. It was beautiful. It was at Haxton Road Studios. And just keep that picture up. And so so it's wonderful because in weddings, I work with couples for about 5 weeks. And we go through all different manner of conversations. We go from their love story, which is very important because I always tell them in any season that you're in, you can always go back to your love story. And I want you to think about that right now just as an intro. In any season that you're in, you can always go back to how you fell in love. And you can tell those stories again because that was the times when you made time for each other, when you made priority for each other, when you talked to each other, when you tried to figure each other out and it wasn't comfortable and you were giving everything into the relationship. You can always go back to that and tell those stories again, no matter what season you're in. And so we talked through that. Then we talked through family history, because I do believe you marry into a family. And so we talked through everything that goes on with the family and how we cast light back up a tree. Then we go through marital hope. And then we go through planning the ceremony. And some couples that I plan ceremonies for will at times be like, Pastor Joe, we want to do our own vows. I said, okay. So we have vows written in our ceremony language. And I always tell them this. I say, you can do your own vows. I love that. I think it's beautiful in any wedding. And I said, but first we give our vows to God, and then we give our vows to each other. And I said, and they don't replace one another. And I said, there's a relationship here, and there's a relationship here. And so I said, first I'll share the vows before God to set God as a foundation in our relationship. And then I want you to say your vows to one another. This is beautiful. And so they said, that's great. And I said, I just have a couple rules when you guys do your own vows for the things that have gone wrong in marriages that I've officiated before. It's like, one, you have to decide on a length, a shared length, and the medium. So if it is handwritten, college ruled, single page, you need to say that and say how long you're going to write for, because we don't want someone writing 3 pages of poetry and someone going, I love you. You know, like that. Sweet. Like, I can't carry the wedding at that point. Like, I just can't carry it. And I was like, So you have to decide. And so I said, make sure you're doing this. And they always get a little bit more nervous because they realize writing vows sounds wonderful before you write them. And then when you get into them, it's strikingly scary. And so I always get these messages back and forth after couples decide to write their vows, just asking questions. And I'm like, look, I don't want to see them. They're like, can you look at them? And I'm like, I'm not going to say your vow. No, absolutely not. I'm excited to hear them on the wedding day. I was like, that's the only part I don't know about. And so as we were getting ready for this, Michaela comes out to me and she says, hey, Pastor Joe, I got a question for you. I said, yeah, sure, fire away. And she goes, so I'd like to sing my vows. And she's a worship leader at Grace Hills, and I've heard her sing before. And I was like, oh, that'd be incredible. And she goes, but I don't want John to feel like I've overdone. And I was like, oh, don't worry about that. I'm fine with that. I was like, you just sing. I was like, it'll be great. And so I met with John before the wedding. And we had prepped all this time where during her vows, I would walk John over and there was a grand piano in the space and I would put him next to the grand piano and I'd walk her over. And John comes in right before the wedding and goes, I'm nervous about the vows. And I was like, you should be. I was like, did you write your vows? She's like, she didn't tell me how long she wrote hers. And I was like, yeah, you can't really tell. It's like 4 bars. You know, I like, how do you say that? You know, I was like, it's gone. And I was like, John, don't worry about it. Like it was pastor just in finest. Right? I was like, John, you're going to do great. I was like, you have them written though. He's like, no, you know, he's like, I was like, well, then you're not going to do great. And I was like, so we're going to get through this together. And I was like, it'll be beautiful. He's like, no, I wrote him out, but I just want to talk it when I'm up there. I was like, that's perfect. I said, it's always beautiful. No, so John, beautiful vows. I mean, eye to eye, never took his eyes off her and tears coming down. I love you. I'm going to be this for you. And I promise this. And I will stand next to you forever. And so he ends this and it's just wonderful. And then there's just silence. I said, John, that was beautiful. I said, would you mind just walking over next to the piano with me right now? And he goes, why? And I was like, I said, don't worry. And so we walk over, and I stand him next to the piano, and I was like, I would now like to invite Michaela to sing her vows. And he's like, and I'm like, John and I are great friends. We went to Uganda together. He served here in the church for a long time, and incredible, like not a dry eye in the house, incredible. And there's something I want to say about that. The seasons of love that you're in, when love blooms, it feels like that, doesn't it? When that love is fresh and it's inviting and it's willing to risk, it feels like that. It feels like someone singing their vows in front of 100 people. It feels like someone saying, I'm nervous about saying how much I love the person I'm with in front of other people. That's when love blooms. I'm not talking about when love is comfortable. That's not today's message. Today's message is about when it blooms, and it's about seasons. And I want to talk with you through that through the book of Ecclesiastes. So I want you to get in. If you got the Bible app out there, so we have a couple things that we do in the church. What we do is, first, if you've got your Bibles, we love Bibles in the church. We have a mission that every person has a Bible. Say that out loud. Every person has a Bible. That's great. We want you to bring the Bible to church. If you got it, raise it up right now. You got Bibles out there? We got some Bibles out there. If you got a smartphone, raise that up. We love smartphones. You can take pictures today. You can share it with people. We love that in the church. That is a way to share the gospel today. If you download the Bible app, on the Bible app is all of our information for the neighborhood church, and we have an event on there, and you can follow along with scripture, with notes, with devotionals. We have a new Valentine's 5-day devotional on there that you can follow along with leading up to Valentine's Day. Incredible. So definitely jump on that. If you're looking through the Bible and you're like, I've heard of Ecclesiastes, guide me, get me there. So you're going to work into Psalms. There's a lot of Psalms. So if you can find the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, so just open the Bible and start turning to the left a little bit, right? We're going to go. And as you get to Psalms, you're going to get to Proverbs, and you're going to get to Ecclesiastes. And we're going to be in chapter 3. Ecclesiastes is usually attributed to King Solomon, but it's actually not true. It was actually a later writer. And what they're writing about is a life with or without God in the midst of vanity. So if you choose an earthly life, here's what that could look like. And it's written from the perspective of, if things get tough, don't choose the earthly life. Still crave and seek God in that season too. And God will blossom in that season too. And so this text is called Everything Has Its Time. And it's part of the large reason that we started the series called Seasons of Love. And we're just going to read verses 1 and 2. And I would invite you after that, after today, or even right after this, read the next couple verses, because we're going to jump to 9. But the next verses are about seasons too. So here's verse 1 and 2. For everything There is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. We're going to start there. And we're going to start right in the beginning. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And it's really important. And the reason I share the vow stories with you is because of how this is important. If there is a season for every matter under heaven, then you need to name the season that you are in. You need to name the season that you are in with God and that you are in with each other. Here's what I see that happens in our life sometimes is that we don't name where we are at. It's okay to be in a season. It's okay to have a season in your life where things aren't going okay. It's okay to have a season where things are going great. It's okay to have a season where love is blooming and where love is cold. Those are okay, but you have to name them. You have to name that season with each other so you can walk together. If you don't name it, we don't know how to walk together. And so what we don't do is we don't name it. Instead, when we don't name a season, all we end up doing is just wandering. That's it. We wander through relationships, we wander through faith, and we have no direction. You need to name the season that you're in, and you need to name the season that you're in with God first. Because God's a foundation for every relationship and matter under heaven. How many of you have thought about before naming the season that you're in with God? How many of you have ever done that before? Okay, here's what those seasons look like. I'm on fire. I go to Jesus camp every single summer. Like, my relationship in this season with God is incredible. I'm a newbie Christian and I'm going for it. I'm in scripture every day. This is an on fire season for Jesus. Or you could have a season that says, hey, I was on fire for Jesus and now I'm questioning a little bit. I had this experience and now I got some questions, God, and I'm going to be in a season of questioning. Or you can go Peter's route in scripture and be in a season of denial. Where you say, I don't know this person. I'm struggling. You know what? It hurts to be Christian sometimes. Sometimes I get too many questions. I don't know how to answer it. The people want me to answer for all of Christianity. I don't know what that means. I just want to follow Jesus. I don't know that person right now. I don't know Jesus right now. I'm kind of out for the time being. And it could look like, hey, I need you to follow me. And you could be in a season that says, right now, I'm just following. Right now, I feel like I've been called. I don't know what that means. I'm showing up on a Sunday and I'm just learning and I'm in that. And that's okay. Every one of those are okay. It's okay to question. When we question, we learn. All of our education is based on question and learning and growing and being willing to ask those questions. And it's sometimes, yeah, we get frustrated. If you had perfect relationships with your spouses and loved ones, and you had a different relationship with God, we'd have questions. But is your relationship with your spouses and loved ones perfect all the time? How many of you have been in denial with that relationship too? Okay, like, wow. Like, I don't even know you right now. Man, like, what is going on? That's in our heart. Hey, I'm really questioning what's happening right now. I'm questioning these decisions. I'm questioning these motives. Why are we in this? Ooh, it's Valentine's Day. You are looking good tonight. We're going to go have some dinner. We're going to get some cheesecake. Like, you can be on fire. Those seasons are okay, but you have to name them. That's actually our drive home question today for you in the Bible app. What season are you in with God? What's that season right now? I want you to think about that. Because if you haven't thought about that, you're just wandering through faith. You're not walking. And you won't come out of it because you don't know where it heads. Now, next thing about this. If it's every matter under heaven and we've decided that we've named our season with God, now we have to name our season with each other. We've got to name where we're at. And that's why I started by telling you that every couple I start with, I go back to the love story. Here's a great way. If we're talking about love blooming, I want your love to bloom during this message. I think you need to name your season. I want to make that okay. But I want your love to bloom too. We're coming up on Valentine's Day. I want it to be a good week for you. You know what you need to do? You need to go back and tell your love story. I want you to share the story when your love bloomed and try not to smile and be like, oh, that was a good time. That was a good, oh, remember when we did it? Pull up the pictures, pull up the memories, pull up the videos, pull up everything that you had going on to start that blooming relationship, and then look at it and say, this is what happens, and realize that it wasn't just you. When you made that relationship with God and you grew and God pulled you together, guess what? When you guys came together, you brought friends together and you brought families together and you brought loved ones together and your people group grew around you just like a community of faith. Love is a beautiful witness to a community of faith. Love is a beautiful witness to your faith in God at all times. And if you have this season identified, you can identify this season. And as I was thinking about love blooming, I realized that National Geographic does those like time-lapse videos. You've ever seen those? Where they're like, I'm gonna show you a bean grow, right? And then they like, here's a flower blooming, right? I looked at the blooming flower ones. It was just flowers blooming. I wasn't really like, So, but I found a bean that blooms. Next time we're gonna put a track to Casey and JoJo All My Life and it's gonna grow just like that. It's gonna be great. I watched that and something came true for me in talking about a season of blooming. When you have that relationship with God, do you see how far it has to spread underneath as a foundation? That's your relationship here with your loved ones. When love blooms, the foundation you create on this earth is all the roots of that love of Christ. It's all of the spread of all those things in the ground and the muck and getting all together and all the sprouts and all the relationships and the families and the friends that come off of that. That's when love blooms. And now listen to this. I want you to open back up to Ecclesiastes. And here's what it says. If you turn back into verse 9, it says, the God-given task. What gain have the workers from their toil? I've seen the busyness that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. A sense of past and a sense of the future. Here's what I want you to think about. When your love blooms, you are planting a seed for the future. And the seed that you're planting is what you are living today from everything that you planted before. And that seed from this moment forward is growing into what is your fruit of the Spirit. That seed that you are planting right now is the fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit is what you will be fully known for. That's what this relationship and what love blooming is about. It's about letting your spirit be fully known in the relationships that you're with. And I heard last week that Mike used the love verse. Is that true, Mike? You brought out the love verse from every wedding that was there. So I want to take it and also bring up a love verse that's in there. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Can you put this on the screen? Listen to this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child and I thought like a child and I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. And now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. I ended the wedding yesterday by stopping everyone after the bride and groom had kissed and they had walked out and everything else and everything was going. And I stopped them and I said, you have an opportunity today. You have an opportunity with the ones that you love to share your vows again. You have an opportunity to stop and tell them why you love them when you are in the midst of people who are sharing love. And when I talked about that love when it's blooming is taking risk, you all took risk to be in the relationships that you're in. Christ took risk to love you in the way that he did on the cross. And we stand here and we need to have a bold faith that reasons with that and says that our faith is gonna move forward and it's gonna say again why we are committed to God and the vows we have made to each other. So if you want your love to bloom in this season, this is the time. And it is now. It is a matter under heaven, and God desires it from you to share that love of Christ. And it looks like this. It looks like looking into the eyes of the one that you love and saying, this is why I love you. It looks like God opening up the heavens and saying, dearly beloved, with you I am well pleased. So today of all days, if you want your love to bloom, don't miss this moment. Take the ones that you love and tell them why. And in you, they will see Christ. And all God's people said, amen.